Amen. Today we're starting a new series. So we're going to title it My Story. Say, My Story. Do you realize you have a story? You have a story. I love talking to people. I love learning because if you just sit, and a lot of times we think we understand and know people by outward appearances, but if you have chance just to talk to people, everyone's got a interesting story if you listen to their life. But even better than that, just not a natural story of where they have come through in life, I believe each and every one of us have a story of what God's done in our lives. And that's an important thing to understand. To not only understand it, but to be able to see the power of your story. The world will tell you, be quiet, sit down, we don't want to see you, we don't want to hear from you. But God says, listen, what I've done in your life, I don't want it to stop with the experience of your life. Jesus said, we don't take a candle and hide it, we put it on the table so it can benefit those in the room. You're not called to reach everybody, but you are called to reach somebody. And God wants us to be in the position where we can share our story, the power of our story. Most people think it's just about just talking. No, there is spiritual power to the context of your story. In fact, Revelation 12, and anything I say when I quote scripture, some I'll throw on the screen, some I'll give you the reference, some I'll quote, challenge the scripture. Because I don't want you to just accept every idea. I want you to challenge it so you can grow as you study it. Amen. Revelation 12 says, and they overcame him, referring to the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which is covenant, the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Your story carries power with it. If you keep it to yourself, you miss out on so many benefits. Today, I want to talk about some of the benefits of your story. Look to your neighbor and say, your story has benefits. So don't keep it to yourself. Look to your next neighbor and saying, neighbor, I'm going to do it better this time. Your story has benefits. Don't keep it to yourself. And then we're going to get into, over the next few weeks, some of the key ingredients to strengthen your story so that when you communicate your story, you'll understand the benefits can be activated from your story. I'm so excited about this series. This is literally a accumulation of just not, let's do a series on people teaching them how to do their testimony. Remember those days of testimony church? Yeah. Who's got a testimony? It's important to share your testimony. Now, we don't always do that typically in the church world where people come up and take a mic, because some of you are looking for a place to preach and you'll do a 45-minute testimony. Come on, somebody. Some of you haven't learned, not anybody here, but I'm just in the church world, some people haven't learned how to share a testimony, and so they'll talk about everything about the problems and not about the test. They're talking more about the test than they are the testimony. But there's power. Say, there's power in my story. I'm so excited about this, and we have been working for years. We look for the mind of God. We look for ideas for the Holy Spirit to reveal them many times. It's just the rhythm of how we operate. The Lord will place stuff on our hearts that it takes years for us to discover, literally years to discover the ability to do it. One of those things is this context. We've always looked, we need a better way. We're always looking at how we can improve. We need a better way to record and share people's stories. And so we had an idea in a brainstorming staff meeting years ago. Wouldn't it be great if we had some type of almost like a phone booth where people can go in anytime they have a story? They don't even need to talk to anybody. Just walk in, close the door, soundproof, light, sound, action, there you go, and record their story in a controlled environment. So they're not distracted by the noise of the room, the noise of kids around, and we can be able to communicate it. And that's what that big old box is outside in the portico. So as we progress through this series, if you see it empty, I want to encourage you to, starting next Sunday, the equipment will be in place, and we'll be able to record professionally your story in a way that can be shared. Amen. Some of the benefits. Here's a few benefits. Number one, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 71. Psalms chapter 71. It's good to be back with you today. David said, "My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds," NIV translation, "of your saving acts all day long. Though I know not how to relate them, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone." David shows us one of the benefits is that it's a declaration of praise when you share your story. Devin did an amazing job last week talking about the power of praise and how it brings in the presence of God. Many times we think that we're praising God, but we're not. We're communicating the negative and not the positive. If we're not careful, we'll focus on what God has yet to do and not what God has done. I'm feeling so negative. I'm feeling in a world where people talk more about mental health than anything else. Sometimes if you look, we did a whole series on this. Sometimes the problem is that's all we focus on is the negative, what's missing in life. We turn on Facebook, we put on Instagram, we go through Twitter, we turn on the news, and it seems like either things are negative or someone's doing better, and we compete and compare, and we struggle feeling empty of why my life is not good. Israel dealt with that problem. Every time God would do a miracle, the next thing they did, they didn't praise him, they didn't thank him, they didn't spend time honoring him, they didn't share it, what did they do? They begin to complain about what God had yet to do on the next problem. Well, we know he did this, but what about that? A lot of Christians, don't shout me down today, a lot of Christians, we live in that rhythm. We don't think about what God has done. We're thinking about, God, why haven't you taken care of this? And we almost treat God like he's a, here's our shopping list, and we'll be happy with you when you're done. And we miss out that the power of praise propels you. Let me say it again. The power of praise propels you to that next place. You can say anything you want, but if you're talking negativity, those words can confine you in your life. You don't need a devil. Many times, people, you don't need a demon holding you back. Your own words and lack of praise will keep you out of what God has for you. I really believe that. I believe that there's in the realm of the spirit, the devil's like, you demon, sit down. Well, am I supposed to do something to that person? No, just watch. They'll take care of it themselves. They're their own worst enemy because everything's negative. Everything out of their mouth is a, you think, what God do you serve? What God do you serve? Well, I'm just telling it the way it is, and that's the way it will be because your words, James says, directs the ship. Well, I just wish I wasn't in this part. Well, then drive through it. Don't stay in it. Begin to declare the goodness of God. Allow the presence and power of God to change your heart on the inside. Learn to have an attitude of gratitude and it fill your tank so that you can say, wait a minute, I might still see fire around me. I might still see an army around me, but all of a sudden my eyes have been enlightened as the servant's eyes were opened because the prophet said, open his eyes, Lord, because we are in the same place, but he's seeing a different perspective. Stay with me. He is in the same place as me, but he has a different perspective than me. He was like, what are you going to do, prophet? They're around us. And he said, oh, there's more for us than against us. And you know the pressure probably in his mind. Come on, we got to read the Bible not as a fairy tale story, but as a newspaper. You got to walk this thing through that this really happened. And you know he didn't want to say it, but he probably thought, OMG, my boss has just gone crazy. The pressure has gotten to him. All I see is the enemy around us, but he's saying there's more for us. And the prophet didn't freak out. The prophet didn't argue. The prophet just said, open his eyes, Lord. Yeah. Why? Because he's in the same place that I am, but in a different perspective. Right. Have you ever wondered where you could be walking with somebody and your attitude is different? Same circumstance, same situation. One has a different perspective. Why? Maybe one's eyes are open to see things differently than what the other is seeing. Well, I'm just telling the truth. No, you're not. You're speaking the fact. And the Bible says not to look on the temporary, things that change. Well, I'm giving you the doctor's report. You know what? And doctor's report can change. You know, doctors can change. Don't tell me they can. I just talked to a dear woman before this service, and we prayed with her. And she told me, Pastor gave me a big hug. Thank you for praying. Where's she at? I can't see with all these people. Where's she? Might stand up, wave your hand so I know where you're at. She's back there so happy. She's drinking coffee. There she is. Wave your hand so they know I'm talking about. So she's only told me this story once, and we haven't had time to practice this. So I'm going to look to you to make sure I stay on track. And she said, because her daughter called me, this has been a while back, and said that my mom's in the hospital, it's not looking good. It was COVID, right? She's dealing with COVID, and OMG, forget about cancer being a freak name. Now people are afraid if you say the C word, COVID or cancer, they're all freaked out about something that's still under the name of Jesus. Because my Bible says that anything that has a name must bow its knee. You're not like everybody else at your work, at your neighborhood. You are not, and if you don't have a family that's saved, they might not understand, but you're not the same. You're exempt. Are you listening to me? You are a child of God, blood bought. Are you listening to me? You have something that they don't have. She called and said, oh, my mom's in a hospital, and her mom was telling me this morning how she was at the verge. They were getting ready to put her on a ventilator. It was looking dark. It was looking like she was dying. She was at the end, and we had prayed over the phone, and that was the end of it. That was the end. I mean, you can't even go visit people anymore. You got to knock on the window and wave, which doesn't work if they're 15 floors up high. Some of you get that later. So anyway. But she said, all of a sudden, the power of God and totally changed the opinion of the doctors. And they said, did they not, that you are a miracle. God's still doing miracles. Don't tell me. Don't tell me he's not. Come on, give the Lord a praise. That's a story. That's proclaiming his mighty acts. I get tired of people trying to tell a testimony and there's no truth to it. It's all emotional, all points to them. It all points to, and it's all make-believe. I'm not looking for stuff that you have to mentally convince me if I see it and close my eyes and turn my head left and maybe could draw something out of that painting. Have you ever seen those? People tell me if I stare, years ago, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. There was a big popular thing about these paintings, and you see it, and you're like, okay, but if you stare at it, you'll see a different picture. I don't see nothing. Oh, you just got to change your focus. Just blur. Close one eye. See, that's what religion will do. Testimonies. I don't want testimonies that I got to blur out one eye. Lift up right leg, turn head sideways, hold my breath for 30 seconds. Oh, wait, I'm starting to see it. No, I'm looking for testimonies that people who don't believe in Jesus, who don't know Jesus, and the last thing they want to do is to recognize Jesus, say that I can't say and see any other way. This is a miracle. Can I get an amen? I want people who know you, that knows that it wasn't you doing you and you just got a raise or you just got a blessing or you just got a healing. I want people who know you that know that it is so beyond you that there is no way. When God did miracles in the Bible, he didn't find people that it was most likely to work for. He found people that was so far from it happening. And then he said, not only is it so far from happening, I'm going to raise the bar. So when it's all said and done, you'll understand that the New Testament says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory goes to God. The praise goes to him. I'm not going to live a life looking and believing for stuff that can be persuaded away by someone's argument. I want stuff that even the brilliant people, the most intelligent people, the ones that think that they know it all, can't figure out. Come on, somebody. If you want that in your life, that's the testimony I want. That only God and God alone gets the praise. Well, my finger hurt for an hour and I prayed and it went away. Well, praise God, it might have gone away even if you didn't pray. Right. It was rainy, and I prayed, Lord, let the rain stop. And do you know what? It stopped 3 days later. Hallelujah. And the world looks at us like we're a bunch of idiots. Right. And understandably so. Yeah. We are moving into an age, a season, church, where we can't pawn off fake miracles and testimonies and call ourselves spiritual. and that's religion at its worst. We're looking for infallible proofs, proofs that cannot be faked, cannot be argued away. Like the man who says, I don't understand all this theological stuff, Greg Bruce translation. All I know is once I was blind, and now I see. Your story gives praise to God. Number two, your story empowers you and challenges. Again, Revelation 12, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We see this being played out in Scripture also as an example when David was going before the king. Goliath is roaring. Goliath is mocking the armies of Israel. Many theologians believe that if you look at the text that it references when he would come out, he would stand in the open field with either army on each side, and he would stand there at Israel and laugh at them and said, send one person to fight me by myself, and the winner takes all. Amen. And many theologians believe that he was coming out during the time that they were scheduled to pray. So when they would begin to seek God, the enemy would begin taunting. See, the devil will be quiet as long as he's got you until you begin to seek God. And then that's when he starts, what if this don't happen? What if it gets worse? What if? That's just the devil trying to taunt you. It was of such nature that we know the scripture says that they were hiding out. Even the king was hiding out in his tent. And David shows up, a young man who was not even trained for war. You got to love this. David was a man after God's own heart, and he could worship, but David was a fighter. He had some attitude. We need in the church world some Christians who love Jesus but have a little bit of attitude when it comes to messing with the devil. This is not kumbaya, let's all get along and let's all be friends, all the demons and angels, let's get everybody together. No, Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil.
That's right.
And if that's why Jesus was manifested, Jesus said, the way the Father has sent me, so I send you. We need to be looking for opportunities for God to use us to set people free, to bring salvation to people. To help. This wasn't David's battle. This wasn't David's problem. He was just obeying his earthly father. He left the few sheep of his earthly father to feed a few people, only to find himself hearing an opportunity that no one was willing to pick up the mantle. And he said, what is the reward? And then finally his conversation began to get to the ears of the king, and he said, bring him to me. I got to check this guy out for myself. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Basically, David walked into the tent of the king and said, King, don't worry. Your problems are solved. Your servant David's going to take this giant. Now, that's a pretty bold, and you want confidence. The last thing you want is someone to go fight for everybody that's afraid, right? Because it was not just they might die. It's loser take all. You no longer a king. They're going to kill you. I mean, it's all riding on this. And you don't want somebody walk in saying, I don't think I'm going to win, but I'll try. No, I don't want anybody to try. I want somebody with confidence. That's not arrogance. The righteous are bold as a
lion.
Stay with me. The righteous are bold as what?
Lion.
That's confidence in God, not confidence in you.
Amen.
And David said, don't worry about it. Your servant David will be able to take this Goliath, this giant. And the king said, who are you that you think that you could take? You're not even a soldier. You haven't gone through a boot camp. Isn't it amazing that the people in position that aren't doing what they should be doing are the ones telling people that aren't in a title position that are saying, I'm going after that anointed to do it, and saying, you're not qualified.
Right, right.
Boy, has that happened a lot in the church world.
Yeah,
you're not an elder. What do you think you're doing? You're not called. You're not in fivefold ministry. Why are you praying like that? Who's giving? You don't have a title. You shouldn't be doing that out in the park preaching and feeding me. What are you thinking? Isn't that amazing how we can shut people down that are trying to do something? Because we're not willing to do it ourselves. And David began to say and share his story. I'm going to pick up because of time. Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept my father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear. A what?
Lion.
Come on, let's keep this real. It wouldn't even take either one of those. Just a lion cub and I might have walked away. I hope my father handles disappointment well, because there's no more sheep. What happened? I saw a shadow. Come on, somebody. It looked like a lion. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you'd make it up. You'd be like, there was a huge tiger. No, there was no tiger. There's a lion and a bear. Whew. And took the lamb out of the flock. That poor little lamb. I'm going to miss that poor little lamb. But at least they didn't take all of them. At least I'm alive. You know what's interesting about this, on a side note, is that David was so protective of his father's few sheep that he was willing to challenge and risk to go after just a few sheep. I'm telling you, there's coming a day. People are going to rise up and quit saying, oh, that's a shame that's happening to them. At least it's not me.
Yeah, come on,
Pastor. It's like we're all in the boat and you're in the... And they're putting a hole in the other end of the boat, and you're saying, wow, that boat's sinking over there. I'm glad it's not my boat. It all affects us.
Yes.
You know when you're annoying, when all of a sudden something stirs on the inside, and you say, it's not my problem, not my boat, but you know what? Somebody has to do something.
Yes.
And David rose up after that lion and the bear. Notice this. And I went out after him. Man, right there, I would like, go. Don't even want to hear anything else. You're alive. You went after him. That's good enough for me. And I smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him.
Wow.
On a side note, this was a learning process even for David. Because later when we find him fighting Goliath, what does he tell him? Today I'm going to cut your head off. How did he know to cut off the head? Because he learned, if you don't kill the enemy, then you allow him to rise up against you. Where did he learn that? Here you go. Because he grabbed him by his beard, which means by his face. You don't get close enough to a lion or a bear to grab them by their face unless you think they're out and then they wake back up. Okay. And slew him. Verse 36, your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Notice how he's connecting his story to the situation. Notice how he's connecting his story to the situation. Notice how he's connecting the story to the situation. They shall be one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me, catch this, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. What did he say? The same. This is the connection. This is what we miss out. We go into battles forgetting about our past victories from heaven. Your story carries a power with it. Your story carries the ability to bring you back to the place of, God did it before. He's going to do it again. He healed me before, and healing's still mine. He's blessed me before. He's protected me before. The devil said, I'm going to kill your children. You can't kill them. God has protected them before. Remember that year you tried to kill them, and God protected them. You bring back to remembrance. You remind yourself what God has done. You bring back and begin to declare, even if nobody's in the house to hear it. You walk those hallways and say, Father, I thank you. You are my healer. You healed me before, and this enemy that's attacking me today will be just like them. Someone, you got to bring your game. You got to bring your battle game. You can't walk in there and say, oh, devil, can we just negotiate? No, you're not there to negotiate. You are there, according to Hebrews 11, to subdue a kingdom. You are to bring dominion. You are to exercise the will of God. You are to let the devil know, I know who you are. And the Bible says if you catch a thief, he has to restore unto you. Sevenfold, you can say, I identify you. David said, this is an uncircumcised Philistine, which means he's not only is he not Israel, out of Israel, but he is out of covenant. You can look at the devil and say, I know that report is out of the covenant. It's not aligned with the word of God. It's not part of the blood of Jesus. I have a covenant from heaven. And 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I was, therefore I am. It goes back and it continues. It's a covenant of perpetuity. It does not cease. It does not quit. It does not weaken. It does not stop. It is a covenant that God created amongst him and himself for humanity through Abram and through the seed of Jesus. And if you are Christ, if you are a child of God, you are part of that seed. And the power of the covenant does not diminish ever. It does not weaken. It does not weaken. It's in the legal term, in perpetuity, which means perpetual, which means does not have an ending. For it to have an ending, the one who created it must come to an end. And the God you serve, the God you pray to, the God you worship, oh my God, help me, Jesus. The God that you talk about, the God that you believe in, he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the before time and he is in completion of time. There is no God like him in the heavens or the earth. He is the one before the beginning. He is the Alpha, he is everything. There is no weakening of the covenant. There is no weakening of the covenant. If he did it before, David was so confident, I'm going to risk my own life because God's compelling me. Why was he compelled? Because he had already been anointed by the anointing of a king. Yes. The anointing of the king was to bring order to the enemies. The anointing of the king. See, there's the prophet was anointed so he could hear from God and speak it. The priest was anointed so he could minister to heaven in place of the people, for the people. But the king, his job was to bring order against the enemy. Don't you know you are kings and priests unto your Most High God? You should not even have to try to work it up. Just trust it. You know the word of God. Get the word in your heart. Get it in your spirit. Stay in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, when the enemy rises up, you're going to feel a righteous indignation rise up on the inside of you. Why? That's the anointing of order. That's the order of God. That's the order of God. That's the order of God, which is the will of God. The alignment. Seek first the kingdom of God and how he operates. That's the order of God. When things aren't in order, you're not, I don't have a peace about this. It's because it's out of order. The anointing on the inside is stirring you something. Not right. Why? Because the devil's trying to creep in into your field, and he might look like a little fox, and you might think, oh, not a cute little fox. Be careful of that little cute fox, because its assignment is to try to steal, kill, and destroy. And you got to say, you might not understand it, but something rises up in you and say, wait a minute, I got to deal with this. I'm bringing order. But I don't feel that. Who cares what you feel? What do I need to do, Pastor? You need to begin to walk the halls and declare the goodness of God, of what he has done to you. You got to begin to remind yourself that he was there at the beginning. You got to remind yourself, I remember when I was being under attack and I didn't know where it came from, but God, I turned to the Lord in my time of need. This is my story. This is my story. Too many of us run to the battle without being prepared. Run to the battle without the right weapons. My story empowers me for challenges. Your story empowers you. But I don't have much of a story. Are you saved? That's all you got. I just got saved last week. Well, then you got a story. He took you out of darkness and brought you into light. He took you far from him and brought you into the family of God. He took you out of bondage and made you set you free. He brought you out of torment and condemnation and gave you his peace. Yes. Yes. And he would not do that than neglect you. Come on, next 30 seconds, give him a praise. If you got a story, I can't get to this one. If you got a story, give him a praise. If you got a story, come on. Somebody's got to release their praise. Someone's got to release their praise. The Lord won't let me move to the next point. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. I praise your name, Lord Jesus. I praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! So the next time the devil tries to mess with you, and Jesus said, in this world you'll deal with trials and tribulation, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome. What are you saying? What are you saying to me, Pastor? I'm telling you, when you get a challenge and when you are dealing with the test, don't freak out. Stand tall and say, I'm going to get a better story. I'm going to get a new story of what Jesus is doing in my life. Hallelujah. Number three, the importance of you sharing your story. It not only honors God, it not only empowers and encourages you, it encourages other people. Daniel 4, chapter 2 says, I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. Luke chapter 8, verse 39, Jesus said, return to your own house and show, not just tell, show what great things. You say, why keep emphasizing show? Because we have a lot of people in the world, I don't know if they're just delusional, insecure, or what the problem is. We have people that make up stories just so they look important. Listen, if people's got a great story, a great testimony, and it makes them look great, first red flag. Your story should honor God, not you. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I don't mess around with that stuff. I mean, people want to come talk to me, I'll talk to anybody, but they start playing the weird game, I just smile at them. And if I'm in a real honorary mood, I'll start asking them questions. You know, you can get to the truth of anything within a few questions. I had a guy show up once. Should I tell this, Lord? And everything out of his mouth, it took me two questions to debunk it. I was like, really? I mean, why? I'm not dogging pastors or ministers. I'm trying to bring reality, truth to the body of Christ. Because if you've been around that enough, you'll think that every story and testimony is fake. Or everybody's weird. Isn't it amazing you get hold of one bad apple and you think every apple's wrong? You don't let weird people detract you from the goodness of God. Well, I went to church once and there's some weird people everywhere. But that doesn't mean everybody's that way. And if you're here and you're weird, we'll give you a few months to get it dealt with. Come on, somebody. We'll love you. But usually they don't last, you know what I mean? Because we don't play that game. There's too many people dying going to hell. We need to be able to make a difference in the lives of people. I'm not trying to impress each other. Jesus said, return to your own house and show how great things God has done unto you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. It's a part of letting people know that God is still saving, still healing, still delivering, still protecting. There's a lot of weird stuff in the church world where people say, oh, no, God doesn't do anything. That was back in the early church days. Show me in the scripture in the New Testament when he decided, I'm not going to do that anymore. I've challenged you. We have created a culture where you challenge every idea. Because I want you, when people say, oh, God don't do any of that anymore, that's not relevant to us today. Show me in the Bible. Oh, we got revelation beyond the Bible. You're a moron. I'm praying for you. If that offends you, that offends you. But we got to be able to identify people where they're at. I mean, you shouldn't say it that way. Well, whatever, pray for me. But I'm just telling you, we got to look at people and say, I'm sorry, that's not, you don't have revelation above the Bible. I've had people tell me that. Oh, we don't need the written Bible. God's, by the Holy Spirit, we have greater revelation beyond that Bible. No, no, no. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit reminds you of the things I've said. Everything comes into alignment with that word. Amen. Let me say that again. Someone needs to hear that. Everything comes into alignment with that word.
Not what's trending, not what's popular, not what's emotional, not what other people agree to, but what the Word of God says. We line ourselves up to the alignment of His truth, not the truth to line up to our experiences. Last but not least, our story invites others to follow Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph or in victory in Christ, and through that victory makes evident everywhere the sweet aroma, the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Yes. You're not here to brag. You're not here to tell everybody. You let God show you who to tell. You're not called to reach everybody. You're called to reach to somebody's. And your story will be an aroma of His goodness that He still heals. Like the man said, all I can tell you, once I was blind. What do you do with somebody who is blind and now they see and you don't believe in healing? Walk away or rethink the situation. And I'll be honest with you, Proverbs says every man's ways are right in their own eyes. That's why I challenge you to always be open for the Holy Spirit to teach all of us, even myself. I'm always open. I don't look for weird stuff. I look for the Lord to show me through His Word. Lord, if there's things I need, and we're all growing, you should be growing. Everybody thinks they're right in their own eyes. But when you experience God, all of a sudden, it's many times it'll get you to rethink your position on some stuff. Peter had to rethink. Peter was anointed. He was doing some amazing things. But Peter even had to get a realignment. We had a vision, and I don't know why I'm sharing this, but someone needs to hear. And he had a vision. I mean, he was in a vision, spiritual thing. Peter, Acts, I mean, he's the one standing up and all kinds of miracles. Peter, and all of a sudden, in a vision, a blanket came down, and God said, kill and eat. And he said, Lord, I can't eat any of that. That's unclean. And God said, what I make clean is clean. Yeah. And it was out of that revelation, out of that experience, that he got the revelation that the gospel was just not for the Jews, it was also for the Gentiles. Right. The danger of any one of us saying, oh, I know so much, I don't need to learn anymore, that's dangerous. Peter could have said, oh, sorry, Lord, don't you know that you're upon this rock, here we go, Jesus, you said it, upon this revelation, you called me out, you made me a key figure in the church, Jesus, and you know, Acts, come on, it hasn't been written yet, but Acts 2 talks a lot about me. I'm standing up amongst the people, I'm the one that's, come on, I don't need to learn anymore. You could be in a dangerous place. Yeah. Because an experience from heaven will sometimes get you to realign some of our perspectives. And for many people, we're not trying to convince them that they're wrong. We tell the truth in love. Just let them know what God's doing for you. And it becomes an invitation. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard. Why? So that you may have fellowship with us. So that you might become a part of the family of God if you're not. We do it out of love, not trying to impress people, not trying to intimidate people, not trying to show how good we are, how better we are. No, because it's all about Him. We share our stories when He tells us to share our stories so that it can become an opportunity of the fragrance of the goodness of God, that wherever we're at, it can move upon the hearts of people so that they can receive Him. Do you see the power in that? Do you see the power in that? It's not about trying to, oh, God's doing. No, no, some people, all they want to do out of their own insecurities is make themselves look better. They got to die to themselves. Let's choose to love Jesus, all our heart, soul, and mind, and love people and make a difference where God, as He brings and gives us stories, we can, in the right moment, share that story with an attitude of love as an invitation for them. We think we've done something super spiritual because we told our story and we've left people devastated. Walked away without giving an opportunity for them to experience God for themselves. Your story has power. It honors God, encourages you, makes a difference in the lives of other people. As God brings that story, let that story stay in your life. Don't shut it up. Don't put it on the back burner. Don't walk away and say, now I'm going to look for the next story now. No, keep making God famous in the world. Because you know what? At the end of the day, the world is filled with fear and hurt and hatred. There's people that need to hear your story.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking you, is Jesus real to you in a way that you know without a question, shadow, or doubt that he's real and he's your Lord and Savior? With no one looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 tells us those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A simple prayer can make an eternal difference that when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you know that your sins are forgiven. Condemnation's gone. The weight and guilt of sin is gone. New life, a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not about rules. I'm about a relationship. That doesn't give you freedom to do whatever. Romans 6 says, God forbid. But out of the relationship, it begins to change everything. Our attitude, our actions, our outlook. Because he is real. With every head bound, every eye closed, if you don't know him and you want to know him, as I pray, let this prayer come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I invite you, Jesus. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, cleanse me, forgive me. Say, Jesus, I open up the door of my heart, the door of my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And here's what I want you to do. I want to pray one more prayer for those. If you prayed that and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I know Jesus has answered it. At the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm not here to embarrass you, but we're going to applaud a little bit, but then I want to pray over you. Because I know the reality, the Bible, and here's a scripture I use. The Bible says that we can be strengthened with might in our inner man by his Spirit. I'm going to pray that as you walk out of here, that the things that would tempt you before, that were overwhelming to you before, the things that were a weight to you before, the things that were OMG to you before, will become as nothing to you because of the power of God's presence, the anointing of God, and upon your life by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. So if that's you, if you prayed that prayer of salvation, you've accepted Jesus, and you want that anointing on your life where you know that you have strength on the inside to say no to sin, strength to stand up for him. At the count of three, at the count of three. And I want, this time, usually we tell you, bow your head, close your eyes. I want your head, eyes open, look around. Because if I can't stand up for Jesus when people are clapping, how do I stand up for Jesus out there in the world? And the very thing that makes you feel nervous about standing up for Jesus in here while we're clapping will be the thing we're praying that will cause you to be so strong that it won't bother you ever again. One, at the count of three. Two, some of you are quick and strong and bold. I want you to stand quick for all the people who are a little timid. Three, stand to your feet right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. People are still standing up. I'll give you a few more seconds. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity. A few more seconds. Thank you in the very back. God bless you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands toward heaven. Church, lift your hands toward them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that today they've given their heart to you. We thank you that they're, by the blood of Jesus, they're cleansed, they're purchased, they belong to you. And now, Father, we ask you to fill them with the Holy Spirit. Anoint them right now. Let them be empowered on their inner person by your Spirit with might today. So when they walk out of here,
they know they are walking in strength, not by an emotional strength, but in the moment they need it, they'll have that inner strength that they can rely on, depend on, that will cause them to stand strong against any opposition, any words against them, and they will not be shaken. I decree, declare that as they stand in your word, that they will not, from this day forward, they will no longer be shaken by the tactic of the enemy. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody shouted, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you.